بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أرحم الراحمين أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله I'm very happy to see you again this morning and may Allah bless us in this time together inshallah and give us the beneficial knowledge inshallah ta'ala الحمد لله very happy to continue on the topic that we began yesterday, which was the importance of seeking knowledge. And today I'd like to talk about the etiquette or the adab of a seeker of knowledge. And what the ulama recommend for a person who wishes to go the path and to seek the high and noble aim of attaining knowledge or attaining the knowledge of the Sharia. And one thing to remember, my beloved brothers, sisters in Islam, is that knowledge is the highest pursuit that a person can undertake. And of course, high things and noble things are not easy to accomplish, are not easy to attain. Ibn Tammam, one of the early poets of Islam, he said that, "Let me scale the heights that cannot be scaled easily. For reaching high things is easy, but getting the low things, reaching high things is difficult, but reaching the low is easy." And what he meant, and he also said that if you want to attain knowledge or you want to attain the heights without any effort, it's like somebody who wants honey, but does not want to have any bee stings. Somebody who gathers honey, he has to get stung by the bees in order to do that. In order to attain something beneficial, he has to sacrifice. He has to give effort. He has to give everything that he has in order to get some of knowledge. And we have a beautiful story in the life of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, one of the great muhaddithin. And actually it's very interesting, if we look at his early life, the ulama say that as a child his father sent him to a school to learn and memorize hadith and study the sciences of Quran, and it was very difficult for him. And so he left. He was born in a place called Asqalan in nearby to Gaza, and then he studied in Egypt. So when he was going to school, he found it so difficult, he left. He said, I'm not able to learn the knowledge. And as he was leaving, he lay down in a cave or on a place near a mountain, and he saw water that was dripping, and it made a hole into the rock below it. And he said, if something as hard as a rock can change, then why can't I change? Even a rock can be affected by water, so why can't I change my nafs, myself, and be devoted to knowledge? So he went back and he continued learning, and then we see the great scholar that he became. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he wrote the authoritative commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, called Fath al-Bari, Sharh Sahih al-Bukhari, that no scholar can do without. One of the greatest books on the commentary of every hadith, all 7,000 plus hadith, he commentated on their isnad, on their asanid, as well as on the fiqh derived from it, and all of the opinions of the ulama. One of the greatest books ever written. And he was also considered the Shaykh of Islam in hadith. He wrote books that compiled all the names of the narrators of hadith, called Tahdhib al-Tahdhib. And also he wrote a book he gathered the ahadith of a book called Bulugh al-Maram and Adillat al-Ahkam. So all of this, and plus many, many hundreds of books, I cannot mention them all, but imagine if he had given up that time, if he had gone away and he gave up and he changed his life, then the ummah would have been deprived of such great knowledge, of such a noble person. So he had, what he realized is that one has to have sabr in the path of knowledge. And this is actually his name, Ibn Hajar, some of them say, is attributed to that rock that he saw, the son of the rock. He saw the rock and how it was able to change. So likewise, for a person, he has to have patience. This is what the scholars say, in the path of knowledge, one has to have sabr. They have to have patience in order to attain some of the knowledge. And again, another poet, he said, "La تَحْسَبَنَّ الْمَجْدِي تَمْرًا أَنْتَ آكِلُهُ لَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْمَجْدَ حَتَّى تَلْعَقُ الصَّبِرَ الصَّبِرَ" Actually, the word sabr in Arabic, it means a bitter plant. that is used as a medicine. SubhanAllah. Sabr, in Arabic, literally, the root is sabira. It's a type of plant that is used as medicine, but its taste is bitter. So what does that teach us? It teaches us that to have patience is difficult, but there's benefit in it. That one will attain benefit through it. So in the path of knowledge, we have to have sabr. We have to strive and humble ourselves to the path of knowledge in order for us to attain the benefit. Of course, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْنِحُونَ. O you who believe, endure and be patient and guard your territory and fear Allah so that you may be successful. So Allah, He advises us to have the sabr and the patience. So this is something essential for a person who seeks knowledge, to have the sabr and the patience. And in addition to that, one has to have purity of intention. And we see that, for example, we look at the life of Imam al-Bukhari and how he traveled all over the earth to gain knowledge. He traveled to Egypt. He was from Bukhara, which was far in the east, but he traveled to Egypt and Syria twice during his lifetime. Not by airplane, by foot, or by camel or horseback. They had to travel great distances, sometimes just to obtain a single hadith. He traveled to the Hijaz, to Mecca and Medina. He traveled to Basra and Kufa 4 times. Traveled the earth seeking just a few ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So again, you see their eagerness, the eagerness that he had to attain knowledge, the sabr that he had in the path of knowledge. So again, the having purity of intention, and this is a reminder for myself and for all of us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in Nasa'i, what was narrated by Imam al-Nasa'i, whoever seeks knowledge in order to compete with the scholars or to prove himself superior to the ignorant or to make people look up to him, Allah will cause him to enter the hellfire. وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ. May Allah save us from that. So seeking knowledge has to be for the sake of Allah. May Allah give us sincerity and ikhlas. And so in order for us to obtain knowledge, we have to purify ourselves both outwardly from sin and inwardly from having wrong intentions, from having ill intention. This is an effort that we must make to avoid every type of sin outwardly and as well as inwardly. And thirdly, we have to, of course, as we mentioned yesterday, to act upon what we know, to practice the knowledge. And Imam Shafi'i, in one of the famous incidents, he saw the ankle of a woman. And then because of that, he was unable to remember. He lost some of his memory from looking at the ankle of a woman. And then he wrote a verse of poetry. This is very beautiful for the student of knowledge to remember. He said, he went to his sheikh who was waqi', and he said, شَكَوْتُ إِلَى وَكِيعِي سُوءَ حِفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكَ الْمَعَاصِي وَقَالَ إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورًا إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُهْدَى لِعَاصِي. He said, I complained to Waqi' about my bad memory, and so he told me to stay away from sins. فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكَ الْمَعَاصِي وَقَالَ إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. And knowledge is a light from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that we can acquire physically. It's a light from Allah. He puts it in the hearts of the believers. إِنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ. It's a nur from Allah, and that nur will not be given to sinful people. Those who commit sins, they will not obtain the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not open their hearts to it. Just as we find that some people, they heard the ayat of Allah and it did not go into their hearts. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited the ayat, but it only increased them in nufura, in fleeing from the truth. So this is something that we have to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us openings of knowledge. And another beautiful story about Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, where despite his great knowledge, sometimes he said, sometimes a matter would be closed to me. And of course he read all of the books of Tafasir and all of the commentaries, but still he said, sometimes I couldn't understand some things. So what did he do? He turned to Allah in salah. He made sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said, Ya mu'annimu Da'ud, a'allimni. Ya mufahimu Sulaiman, fahimni. He said, O the one who taught Da'ud, teach me. O the one who gave Sulaiman the understanding, give me understanding. He said, I would do this until Allah opened the concept to me. He opened it up to me. So he would seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is knowledge that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's wahi that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So turning to Allah in sincerity and acting upon what we know, so that we can avoid following the path of the Bani Israel. The Bani Israel who knew and they didn't act. And also to, of course, practice everything based upon evidence and based upon knowledge. So we avoid the other path of the Nasara, who worship but without knowledge. And subhanAllah, 17 times a day we recite the verses, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. مغضوب عليهم, the Mufassireen, they say those from the Bani Israel, they knew but they didn't act. ولا الضالين, those from the Nasara, they acted but without knowledge. So this is one of the adab of the seeker of knowledge. One of the adab of one who seeks knowledge. And also, my beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, is to be aware that Allah is watching us in secret and in open. And so the seeker of knowledge, he has to always be between fear and hope. He has to be between having fear of Allah with what he learned and having hope that Allah will reward him and save him from punishment. So a believer, he has to turn to Allah and love him and remember him always and rejoice by learning his rulings and by his learning his wisdom. And so one has to call on Allah always to increase himself in knowledge. This is something that the student of knowledge must always do, to have muraqabah, to have self-reflection, introspection, as they call it. And subhanAllah, there's a beautiful, one of the other great fuqaha of this ummah, and the fifth rightly guided khalifa, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. The story behind his lineage is very interesting. That Umar ibn al-Khattab, his grandfather, was walking in the streets as he would at night, and once he sat down beside a wall and he heard a woman speaking to her daughter. The woman, the mother, she was speaking to her daughter. And she told her daughter, add some water to the milk so that we can sell it and have more milk to sell to the people. And the daughter, she said, Oh mother, didn't you hear that Umar ibn al-Khattab forbade adding water to the milk? So the mother said, Umar ibn al-Khattab cannot see us here. And so the daughter, she said, if Umar cannot see us here, then the Lord of Umar can see us here. So Umar ibn al-Khattab, he heard this conversation. And so the first thing he did, he went home and he talked to his sons. He said, which of you would like to get married? And two of his sons were already married, and his third son, Asim, wasn't married. So he said, I have a very good daughter for you to marry. So he married Asim to that daughter. And it said that from this couple, they had a daughter, and that daughter was the mother of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So you see the piety of fearing Allah in open and in secret. And this led to the great faqih, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He was not only the Khalifa, but he was a great faqih. In fact, it said he was the greatest scholar of his time in Medina. Very, very great scholar. So having this piety, this fear of Allah, it benefits not only us, but even our progeny. And of course, you know the story in Surah Al-Kahf of the orphans and the wall. It said that one of their grand ancestors was very righteous. And because of that, the orphans, they were protected from harm. Also, number five, a very important advice for myself and all of us, for the seeker of knowledge, is to make very good use of time. To be very, very cautious with our time. It's our most valuable possession. It is what our life is composed of. And I believe Imam Shafi, he said, الوقت كالسيف إن لم تقطع به قطعك. Time is like a sword. If you do not cut with it, you do not use it for your advantage, it will cut you in the end. You will be the one who will be in loss. So the student of knowledge, he has to try to make as much good use of his time as possible. Try to organize his time so that he can be he can use it in beneficial things. And because any hour that goes by cannot come back, cannot be replaced. And so we must strive to make use of time and keep away from distractions, things that will use up our time and cause us to go away from doing beneficial actions in terms of learning. And this is very critical for all Muslims, but especially for one who seeks knowledge. Because of course knowledge, as it is said, if you give it part of you, you will not get any of it. But if you give it all of yourself, you will attain some of it. You will obtain part of it. So one has to devote himself or herself to the path of knowledge, inshaAllah ta'ala. And also number six is to be careful not to get involved in disputation and argumentation. Because this will be result in a waste of one's knowledge. To get into debates and these types of things, when the goal is, it will take one away from making beneficial use of his time. And again, Imam Shafi'i, he said, I never debated with anybody except that I wish that the truth would come on his tongue. The goal was not to prove who was right and who's wrong, but he just wished that the knowledge would be spoken by even his opponent. So avoiding getting involved in argumentation and getting involved in matters that will confuse one, getting involved in issues that even the ulama debated over, one should not avoid these types of things and pay attention to the matters that are clear and succinct. Also, number seven is to review what one has learned. And as all of you know, especially with the Quran al-Kareem, we have to review it properly and continuously in order that it stays fresh in one's mind, and in order that we can keep it fresh in our minds. Number eight is to obtain books and commentaries in the chapters of knowledge, and obtain many books. This is how we'll become, we can learn, is to have the books of knowledge. And what's very important is to when we learn a higher concept, to go on to more detailed issues. So to not become, to have the animosity or the ill feeling towards learning the detailed of issues. And in fact, one of my teachers, he said, never read a book except you have a pencil with you. So you can always note down, underline and take notes on the side, or even have a notebook. It's very beneficial so that we can note down the subtle differences in rulings and look at minor issues or subtle issues. This is what knowledge is, when we become aware of the subtlety of different issues and proofs and things like this. So we should not belittle any type of knowledge. We should not belittle it. We should review it and try to understand it and hasten to learn it and memorize it. And do not become content with little, because this is the legacy, the inheritance of the Anbiya. So we should always seek higher and more. Seek to have more knowledge, greater knowledge. And so we should do this, and especially when we have time. Because free time, if we don't make use of it, we'll become very busy. And especially for the young, if somebody's young, he's not married yet, then he has even more time, could take advantage of his time until he becomes busy with that. So this is something, of course, also very beneficial. And number nine, inshallah, is to have good companionship. To have good friends and companions. Because a good friend and companion will help you on the pathway to knowledge. And so we should strive to choose those who have also have eagerness towards knowledge, so that they'll encourage us to learn, to encourage us to be in the environment of knowledge. And in fact, a knowledgeable friend, just by being in his company, you'll learn from him. So finding the people of knowledge and being in their company is something that is very beneficial. And so the person who has good character, they will affect us. Just like a perfume seller, if you don't take any perfume, at least you get affected by the scent when you return home. So it's important to have good companions that will help us towards this path of learning and encourage us and not discourage us away from the knowledge. Say, what is the use of learning? Just enjoy your time. The bad companion, take you away from learning. Say, what benefit will you have from the knowledge? He'll take you away from that. So the believer, he sets his journey. He's on a path or a journey to learning, and anybody who will take him away, just like a traveler, he's going on a road that will take him to his destination. But then you have distractions, people who say, come and stop and you know, try to take you away from your journey. Then either you should try to bring them with you. Say, come with me, I'm going on an important journey. Bring them along with you, encourage them to learn along with you. Or you leave them behind, because they will only slow you down from your path. And finally, number 10, from what the ulama recommend for the adab of learning, is to have good manners towards the shaykh or the teacher. And because knowledge cannot be obtained simply or only from the books, but there should be a teacher or shaykh that can open the doors of knowledge to a person and keep a person away from mistakes. Oftentimes, if somebody only reads the books, they fall into many mistakes. So to have a teacher, that's a very important step. And this will help one to have good manners towards that teacher. To have good manners towards one's teacher is the way to success in our learning. And the type of etiquettes is to not argue with the teacher, or not to compete with the teacher. Or even the ulama, they say to speak too much or walk in front of the teacher. These types of adab, to show the humbleness to one's teacher and to interrupt him while he's teaching. And also to avoid asking too many questions or in front of other people that will make him bored with the student. And also they say even do not call on him by his first name. Say, oh fulan. It's better to say, oh teacher, oh shaykh, to show the adab, the humbleness to the teacher, to remove these types of adab. Perhaps we don't really think much of them in today's world. But the ulama, these are the advice that have been given by the ulama. This is from a book called Hilyat Talib al-Ilm, by Shaykh Bakr Abu Zayd, one of the noble scholars. Said these are very important adab that will help us to absorb knowledge so that it doesn't bounce off. We hear the words of admonition, but it doesn't affect us. So having these adab will help us remove the inhibitions to the knowledge and prevent the knowledge from coming to us. And let me close with one very beautiful example from the Sahaba. As you know, Zayd ibn Thabit, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Afradukum Zayd," meaning he had the most knowledge of mirath, the science of mirath, fara'id. So Ibn Abbas, he used to come to Zayd's house to learn from him. Zayd was an elder of the Sahaba, Ibn Abbas was one of the young. So he would find that Zayd's door was closed. So Ibn Abbas was too shy to knock on the door. So he would lay down, sit down by the door, and fall asleep until Zayd, radiallahu anhu, would come out and open the door. So he would find Ibn Abbas like this, and he said, why have you done like this? Why are you sleeping? Why didn't you call for me? I would have come out and been happy to answer your questions. So Ibn Abbas said, this is the adab we were taught to have with our teachers. SubhanAllah. And then, when Zayd was climbing onto his mount, Ibn Abbas would bring his mount for him, and Zayd would kiss the hand of Ibn Abbas. And Ibn Abbas said, why do you kiss my hand? He said, this is the adab we have with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abbas was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Abbas was his cousin. So he wanted to have the adab with the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the teacher and the student, they had love for one another. They had the adab. You see, Ibn Abbas had that humility to learn. And so because of this, subhanAllah, he became one of the greatest fuqaha amongst the Sahaba. He was devoted to learning and seeking knowledge. So may Allah inshallah help us to be steadfast and strong on the path of knowledge, and to humble ourselves to learning and to the ilm, and to have the adab that will enable us to, inshallah, become strong in our knowledge, inshallah ta'ala, and remove any of the inhibitions to knowledge, inshallah, and to help us to attain beneficial knowledge, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So this is what I had and wanted to share with you, inshallah, today. Jazakumullah khair. صلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين جزاكم الله خير.